Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God. Open the Word to us now. Grant that we will be able to understand, and understanding apply, live, meet each need of each heart this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles now, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 16, remembering that the last time that we were with you, we read about the first angel pouring out his bowl of wrath upon the earth, and we read that there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and which worshipped his image. We told you that we were warned that this sort of thing would happen, that the men who dared to bow down and worship the image of the beast would be so punished. We said that these individuals would indeed drink of the wine of the wrath of the fornication of God. We would like for you to notice the last part of that second verse again. There fell upon these people who had worshipped the image of the beast a noisome and grievous sore. If you will glance down at verse 10 with us, you will find that these people are still suffering day and night because of this noisome, grievous sore, even though many days have transpired. For we read in Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven," notice carefully now, "because of their pains and their sores." This was not something, this suffering, that lasted 24 hours. It continued day and night through the major portion of the last 3.5 years. What is this noisome, grievous sore that will fall upon men during the tribulation period? Because even though in some instances we speak of this in the past tense, you will keep in mind, won't you, that we are talking about a period of time that has not yet come upon the earth, a period of time that will come, known as the tribulation, when men will suffer the wrath of God because of their sins. We repeat, we have just noticed the first bowl of the wrath of God being poured out upon men, and men suffer from a noisome and grievous sore. We've just asked the question, what is that noisome, grievous sore from which they suffer? Different translators have tried to convey the seriousness of this sore by words that might help us to understand. For example, Phillips, on the full authority of the word in the original text, translates this noisome and grievous sore as a malignant ulcer. We hear much of malignancy today, and these words become very forceful in our thinking. Wiest, who is a Greek scholar as far as translation is concerned, describes this noisome and grievous sore as a foul and pernicious suppurating sore, the idea being a sore in which there is pus that can never be drained. This is the noisome and grievous sore which falls upon all men who have dared to worship the Antichrist and his image. Someone may say, but do you think this really could be true? Do you think that such a thing as this will literally occur? Well, I would like to suggest that you turn with me for a moment to the book of Exodus, that we may see that such a thing has occurred at another time. And if it has occurred at one time, there's no reason why it cannot occur again. As we believe from the description given in the book of the Revelation, it's the same thing, but something of greater intensity. In Exodus chapter 9, notice the paragraph which begins with verse 8, where we read, "The Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. Now let's stop our reading right there for a moment. Go back to the book of the Revelation and remind you that there are some distinctions between what occurred in the land of Egypt and what is yet to occur upon this earth. The plague in the land of Egypt affected both man and beast. In the book of the Revelation, this particular plague affects only men. As I suggested to you, it is greater in intensity because boils and malignant ulcers are certainly two different things. Again, in the book of Exodus, it was the instrumentality of a human man that brought about the judgment of God, and so dust of the earth was used. But in the book of the Revelation, man is no longer officiating, only the angels of God. All that is necessary for these angels is to pour out the wrath of God, and the judgment of God falls upon the folk who dare to worship the Antichrist. I believe this will be as literally true as I am trying to make it sound today. Let's think together now about the second vial or bowl of the wrath of God, which is described in Revelation chapter 16. Notice verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now let's stop for a moment and consider what we've read. We've run across this phrase in the book of the Revelation before, the sea. We've said there are two interpretations. Perhaps either or both are correct. The sea could refer to the Mediterranean Sea because so much of this activity takes place right there. Or the word sea could refer to all the seas of the world. Personally, I am not in a position to know. But this one thing we do know. The sea, regardless of what it does include, changes its makeup because that is the meaning of the word became. The word became in verse 3, where we read, and the sea became as the blood of a dead man. The word became comes from a Greek word which can mean only a change of condition. This verse of Scripture does not say that the sea looked like blood, that a little mud and sand and silt got mixed up in the water and caused it to look like blood. This verse of Scripture says that God wrought a miracle, and in performing that miracle, changed the makeup of the sea so that it became as the blood of a dead man. Not that it became typified by the blood of a dead man, but became so that it was as the blood of a dead man. How do we describe that of the blood of a dead man in the sense in which it is presented here? Well, the Amplified Version of the New Testament may help us, for it says it in fewer words than I can, and it describes it as thick, corrupt, ill-smelling, and disgusting. Is there any wonder, then, that we read in the last part of verse 3 that every living creature died in the sea? Every living creature, incidentally, is a better translation than every living soul. If you read it, every living soul, you might be inclined to think this is a reference to human beings. It is not that. It means simply that when the waters of the sea become thick as the blood of a dead man, corrupt, ill-smelling and disgusting, everything within the sea dies. You can see, of course, can you not, why it does? Now let us look rather hurriedly at the fourth verse of the 16th chapter, and we will find the third angel performing a miracle which was very similar to this, but far more reaching. We read the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now you notice that word became again? It is our same Greek word which insists upon a change of condition. It does not say that the rivers and the fountains of water changed their appearance so they would look like blood. It says they actually turned to blood. Put yourself in the place of the people who will be living in the tribulation period. Step into your bathroom, turn on the shower, and instead of water coming out, blood comes out. I may be making it too literal, someone may say, but I am being specific as the Word of God. For where the sea was turned to blood when the second angel poured out his wrath upon the earth, all the waters will be affected when the third angel pours out his wrath upon the earth. And this is as far as we have time to go today. We're talking about the horrible time that is going to occur on this earth after the Lord Jesus Christ removes the church. Thank God today, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and because I do, I am able to look forward with assurance to deliverance from this hour.